I'm going to start just kind of a recap. You know, it'd be easy to say we had bad news this past week. A lot of y'all are aware our final request came before the Gwinnett County Board of Commissioners for a special use permit for the Hillside property. And they approved it, but they put so many restrictions and requirements on it that it really was a denial, is what it felt like. And we just said, we can't move forward with those restrictions. And I had people all week, how are you doing? How are you doing? I said, I'm fine. I have a real peace about this because the whole time we have been seeking the Lord. We just want to be wherever God wants us to be, truly. If he wants us on Hillside, he'll open the doors. And if he doesn't want us up there, then we don't want to be up there. And I think what happened in large measure is this was very freeing in that it's given us some clarity in terms of who we are as a church and what our purpose is. And there were a lot of questions in terms of if we get the Hillside property, what does that do for our, you know, Sundays at Elixir? And we've got Stillfire as another possibility that's opening up for another location. And I said, I don't know what that looks like. You know, we'll have to figure that out when we get there. But this helps kind of clarify what that looks like. I'll share a few things a little bit more in detail right now. I'll just say this. You know, when we walked out of that meeting, and I shared this with some of y'all this week, but I'll reread. But I just said, you know, it was disappointing. It was discouraging. It was a bit disorienting. Probably some of y'all felt the same way. But as I thought about that, I thought, it was only those things because we're looking through a lens of what we think is best. The truth is that we don't know. But the good news is that God does know. He does know what's best for us. Somebody texted me asking how I was doing, and this is what I said. I responded, and I'm just going to reread it because I thought that expresses my thoughts probably better than if I just talk spontaneously now. But I said, we were pursuing Hillside because that's where we thought God wanted us to be. Ultimately, it's not about Hillside. It's about God. And we just want to be wherever he is and wherever he wants us to be. If Hillside is not the plan now or ever, we will just keep doing what we're doing in our little outpost of the kingdom of God, known as Elixir Brew Company, bringing the love, hope, and grace of God found in Jesus Christ and providing gospel rest to weary travelers. God is forcing us to keep it simple, at least for now, and we're okay with that. The reality is that there are blessings and challenges to both sides of the Hillside coin. If God is with us, then we're good either way. And so we're good. We're in a good place. Where's my phone? I think it's at the table because I wanted to read a text. I talked about Grace Song. Joe sent a text yesterday morning, Joe Song, from Alabama, from his training, and it was so encouraging. I shared this with our leadership, but I wanted to read to you what Joe said in his text to me because I think you'll be encouraged by it, and I think it probably... I think Joe expressed probably what a lot of y'all experience. And as I read it, this is not about me. He says some complimentary things about me, but this really is about what God's doing through us and through this church and through you. So Joe said this, Drew, I heard about Hillside. I'm sorry. That must have been so disappointing for you and everyone at Good News. So much time, effort, and prayer poured into that dream. Whatever this means, no or not yet, I know that you know God has better. And in my humble opinion, better is now. Better is the beautiful and humble little kingdom outpost that is Good News Church. The outpost that blazes so brightly in the stormy night, welcoming in the broken and weary travelers into the warm, cozy firelight of Jesus Christ. In a landscape littered with the shipwrecks of churches, once started with a genuine love and calling, that have run aground because of mortgages, building projects, and investors, I see our little outpost built on the firm foundation that is Jesus, and I love it so much. I am so grateful for it and for you. Thank you for giving me hope in the local church again, for showing me the church I've dreamed of but couldn't articulate till I walked into Monkey Wrench those years ago. I really felt like I stumbled upon a treasure hidden in a field. Keep doing what you're doing. We all need good news. Your biggest fan. Isn't that good? That encouraging? Are you encouraged? Good. Good. I hope so. I am. So we're in a good place, and we don't have to raise $3.8 million. So I'm very happy about that. But we still want $3.8 million. And we'll do something crazy with it if you'll give it to us. let me transition in. We are, our Christmas series, we've titled Light into Darkness. Light into Darkness. Such an amazing thing. You know, one way to define Christmas is those three words, light into darkness. Ken Graves mentioned earlier, was it Hark the Herald Angels or Angels We Have Heard on High? Hark. That Christmas carol speaks of something that had never, ever, ever happened before in the history of the world and the history of God and man being reconciled. And it started with light coming into darkness. And so Ray kicked us off last week and really helped us see what that looked like. Read some scripture verses all throughout scripture talks about light coming into darkness. And what I want to focus this morning is how God meets us in our darkness. Because all of us, either we currently are or we have or we will, we experience dark times in life where there is a lot of darkness. And Ray mentioned last week that some of us at Christmas time, whether it's something that happened during the Christmas season or something that happened during the year, our emotions are heightened oftentimes during the holidays, and we feel the sense of darkness and heaviness that we have to really kind of fight against. And so I want to talk about that today. There are a lot of experiences that can wipe us out, that can devastate our faith, that can leave us on the ground shattered and questioning everything we know to be true about God. Whether it's unemployment, bankruptcy, depression, divorce, disability, death of a dream, or death of someone you love, many more things that can be the source of darkness. We deal with all these things because we live in a broken world. And it can cause us to question things. If God cares about me, why am I going through this? If God is sovereign, why did he let this happen? Two things that we must understand and embrace in life. I shared this with the kids last week when I was with them while Ray was preaching. I said, it's so important in life that we understand God's love for us and God's sovereignty over us. God is in control, but he's not a monster. If you don't know God's love, then knowing God's sovereignty is not really all that comforting. But if you know God's love and you don't understand and appreciate his sovereignty, that he is in absolute control over every single detail of our lives, then his love isn't all that comforting. Because he becomes like, you know, Santa Claus or a kind grandfather sitting in a chair watching your world fall apart and just going, I'm so sorry you're going through that. If I could do anything about it, I would. But he has no control. But he does have control. And so it's comforting to know that even when we're in the darkest times of life, God may be sitting there with tears in his eyes, so to speak, going, I know that this is painful, what you're going through. But you don't see where it's going. I have a good plan for this. I have a good purpose for this. And when you see it, it may be on this side of eternity or maybe on the other, you are going to fall down in worship. Because when you see how I used your suffering, when you see how I used your trials, when you see how I used your tribulation, you're going to be so overwhelmed with worship. And it's so important that we know that. What we believe matters. You know, and we live in a culture and it's always kind of been this way, but maybe more today, it seems like faith just sort of gets, what you can't see doesn't exist. The only thing that exists is what we can see, what we can touch, what we can taste. Pragmatism rules. But what we believe drives everything. It drives everything. It drives our decisions. It drives our reactions. It drives our responses. And those things drive our circumstances, our character, our relationships, so much. So what we believe really matters. If you know that when you are in the darkness times of life, that even though I don't understand what's going on and I don't know where this is going, I can have a peace because I know that God loves me in the dark place. And I know that he's sovereign. He's in control over my circumstances, and I can be okay with it. I'm curious, just a rhetorical question. How many of us feel like there's some element of our life right now that we would say there's a dark cloud right there? It could be your whole life right now. It could be a certain area of your life right now. And when you think about that, that dark area, what are the things that normally come with darkness? Fear, doubt, anxiety, sadness. All of those things are so hard. But fear, and Ray pointed out last week, appropriately so, that Jesus said 365 times, I've also heard 366, one extra day for leap year. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Great story. Richard Wurmbrand, have to look it up. I can't even remember. Romania. There is a documentary on it. I can't remember the name of it, but unbelievable story. And he clung to a promise of God every single day. Do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. He was severely tortured, beaten for his faith, but he just clung to God's sovereignty. God, you're sovereign over these horrible circumstances. Don't fear, don't fear, don't fear, don't be afraid. So how do we counter these things? When you have this dark cloud over you, or when you have this area of your life that's a dark cloud and it's darkness, what do we do? Well, we have to remember. We have to remember. It's another thing God tells us all throughout Scripture. Remember, 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 remember. Emmanuel, God with us. You are not alone. Not only do you have this group of people around you and others that are not in the room that you have personal relationships with, but God is always with you. Jesus is with you. His Spirit is inside of you. He's given us His Spirit to be a comforter, to give us peace, to give us joy in the midst of the darkness. That's so unbelievable that we can have joy in these dark places. But God is with us. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned. Isaiah 9, verse 2. Ray talked about that last week. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Isn't that comforting to know that the darkness is not darkness to God? It may be to us, but not to Him. The darkness is not dark to Him. And when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So even though we experience darkness, we don't have to walk in the darkness and the depression and the discouragement and the hopelessness that oftentimes comes with darkness. We don't have to be ruled by those things. We can be in the dark, but have the light of life. Good things happen in the darkness. Did you know that? Good things. This was a great week for me in study because these things jumped out. Good things happen in the darkness. Well, what are these good things that happen in the darkness? Well, first of all, in the darkness, the world was formed. There was a darkness over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God formed the world in the darkness. The second thing, in the darkness, you were formed. Psalm 139, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. This is not a part of this, but continuing on in that. Listen to this. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. All of our days, beginning and end, and everything that happens in those days, written in God's book. How precious are your thoughts towards me, O God. Isn't that a great verse? How precious are your thoughts towards me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If we remember that when we're in the darkness, how precious are your thoughts towards me? How vast is the sum of them? That's faith, to believe those things rather than the things that the darkness wants us to believe, what we gradually, automatically drift towards. Did you know that scientists have discovered that at the point of conception, in the darkness of the mother's womb, there is a spark of light, like a small firework? I didn't know that until this past week. But I have a video. It's called a zinc spark. Billions of zinc ions are released from the egg when it's fertilized, which signifies activation, life. I think we have the video. Watch this. It's 20 seconds. In the darkness. The third thing that came to mind in the darkness, not only the world is formed, you're formed, faith is formed. That's where God forms faith. Because when everything's good, when everything's going our way, we don't need faith. We only need faith when things divert from our path. And we have to believe that God is doing something different. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God is using trials to stretch and strengthen and grow and cause us to be mature in our faith. So remember that. I have to remember that. Though now for a little while, Peter's talking to the church that's being incredibly persecuted. For a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. When we make it through the darkness of this world, really, I mean, there are times of light, but by and large, it's a dark world. There are lots of dark times of our life. When we make it through and we see what God has done, that he's increased and he's grown and he's given us faith that's more precious and worth more than gold, it will result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. Last verse that jumped out at me was Job. His life completely fell apart, every bit of it. And God intentionally said, all right, you know, to the devil, see my servant Job? How about him? He's not going to deny me. Go ahead and take everything from him. Just don't take his life, but you can take everything else. And Job's wife said, why don't you curse God and die? But you know what Job did? He was in pain. He was suffering, but he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He believed God. That faith doesn't come from us. That's so beyond our ability. We don't muster up faith. God gives us the faith that we need for the moments and for the times of our life that we need it. And then in the darkness, lastly, for this morning, Jesus was born. Did you think about that? I don't think that was a coincidence that Jesus was not born at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He was born in the dead of night, in the darkness. The light of life came to mankind. Mrs. Charles Komen, Letty Komen, I quote from her a lot. She wrote the devotional Streams in the Desert. It's so good. And it really focuses on how to process life in the midst of suffering. She suffered. Her husband, she nursed her husband's health for 7 or 8 years. They were missionaries in Japan, I believe, and had to come back home. And she wrote this devotional. But she said, "To worship in the depth of sorrow, it is indeed an arduous thing." It's not an easy thing to worship in the depth of sorrow. "Yes, and therein lies the blessing. It is the test of perfect faith." Do we have perfect faith? No. But it's the test, and it strengthens our faith. She said, "My goal is God himself, not joy, nor peace, nor even blessing, but himself, my God. My goal is God himself." This thought hit me this past week. Those of you who are married, or even if you're not married, if you've ever been on a date, you go out for Valentine's Day dinner, an anniversary, whatever it is, you think about a candlelight dinner, right? Dim the lights. Why? Because romance and intimacy, there's something about darkness that helps enhance that. A candlelight, and instead of full blaze, all the overhead halogen lights on, turn the halogens off, light the candle. Intimacy happens in the dark, and it does with God too. If you've ever been in a dark place as a believer, you know that God has met you in that place. I know that. I've been there. All of our circumstances are different. They're all different extremes. Some of us have horrible, hard. Some of us are just barely over the edge, but it classifies as being desperate and feeling like in distress and feeling hopeless and feeling all these things. And you know that God meets you in that dark place and it changes you. It changes you. And many of you, I know, would say the same thing that I would. I would never change that experience in my life. One, when I went through divorce, it was the worst year of my life, 1999. But it was the best year of my life in many ways because God met me at my breakfast table every morning, gave me a word. I wrote it on an index card, passage of scripture that jumped out in the reading that day, stuck it in my pocket. Carried it with me all that day. The end of the year, I had a shoebox full of index cards of God's promises. And that really kind of became the core of this ministry that God has called me into. A lot of these verses came out of that time. Key thought for today. And I'm going to do something a little different. We're showing a video. It's 13 minutes. But before I get into that, the key thought. The light comes into darkness and it transforms our darkness into light. That's what God does. The light comes into our darkness and it transforms our darkness into light. And I have been deeply touched by this video by Johnny Erickson Tada. We have the devotional book on the back table. It's called Songs of Suffering. I've mentioned this before. Oh, Sally's holding it up back there. There are a few books back there, and it's not an Advent devotional, but it's a great devotional to read anytime. And I think it's 25. So I'm like, 25 days, from December 1 to 25, be appropriate. But she highlights a different hymn that God has seared on her soul during her lifetime, and she writes a devotional about that. And if you don't know Johnny's story, you will. But in a nutshell, she, at 17 years old, she dove into the Chesapeake Bay. She said she took a long dive in a shallow lake and broke her neck, and she's lived her whole life as a quadriplegic. And she's also said, she'll say in the video, she wouldn't change a thing. It's been hard, but she wouldn't change anything. But I want you to watch this. And if you can't see the screen, you may want to move somewhere so that you can. And hopefully we'll get enough volume on this and get the picture on this where you can see it. And I'll post it too with the audio and the notes and all that stuff on our website so that you can access it. But this is a powerful story about how God meets us in the darkness. And I think her story will encourage us this morning. The journey of faith is of God blowing up our expectations and making himself our ultimate expectation. That's the journey of life. We just release all of our expectations and we say, God, you're my expectation. When God is our expectation, and when we know that God rules, reigns, creates, and embraces us intimately in the darkness, we experience his loving kindness, and we can do what we never thought possible in the darkest times of life. We can worship God, even with joy. And as we worship, we experience like no other times in life, Emmanuel, God with us. Another way of saying that, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that's good news. Father, we thank you for the power of the gospel. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We see Johnny and every single person in this room is drawn to that. It's undeniable, that power. And we think, how can she do that? How could I do that? Well, it's only possible by your Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the Spirit that abides in Johnny. And that same Spirit is available to each of us. The same power, the same joy in the darkness, the same faith that's undeniable, that comes from you, that comes from your Spirit. So Lord, I pray for all of us in this room, wherever we are on the continuum of darkness and suffering, that this Christmas we would have a deeper appreciation for the fact that the light has come into the darkness and our darkness has been transformed into light. And in that whole time, we have Emmanuel, God with us, God who loves us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.